Okay, today's daf is Brachot Daf Dalet. We're at the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet. First, I want to start with a very important psak halacha. Daf Yomi organization put out a book of Shailot and Tshuvot that are pertinent to the daf. One of those tshuvas said that you can't make a siyum if you're learning the daf by listening to a recorded shir. That was obviously a very distressing tshuva to read, both for myself as well as for, I'm sure, many of you, since this shir is how you're learning the daf. So I saw Rav Nevensal today in the Beit Midrash, and I went over and asked him if that was the case. I said, can someone who listens to a recorded shir for the daf make a siyum at the end of the Masechta? He said, "Kein bevadai, yes, absolutely." So that's Rav Nevensal's psak, that it's perfectly acceptable to learn the daf through a recorded shir and still make a siyum at the end. Okay. Yesterday we left off by saying that if you want to go out to war, David recommended that they go out to war. But if you want to go out to war, you can't just decide by yourself, yeah, it's a good time to go out to war, we should do this. First of all, you have to speak to Achitofel and get advice from him. Basically, strategy. How exactly should we go about doing this? Then you have to go to the Sanhedrin because you actually need permission to go to war, right? It's a significant halachic decision. Then you go to the Urim V'Tumim and you ask them if you're going to be successful in war. So, picking back up three lines from the bottom on Brachot Gimel Amud Bet. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra, what is the Pasuk to teach me that I'm supposed to go to Achitofel and the Sanhedrin and then the Orim Metumim? Dichtiv is written in the Pasuk, V'achre Achitofel ben Ayah ben Yehoyada v'Yatar v'Sar Tzava l'melch Yoav. Right? Because after Achitofel, you go to ben Ayah ben Yehoyada, and then you go to Eviatar, and then you go to the Sar Tzava of the king, the general of the king, who is Yoav. Okay, why does that tell me that we need to go see Achitofel and the Sanhedrin and the Urim Metumim? So Achitofel ze yoetz, right? He's an advisor. V'chein hu omer v'atzat Achitofel asher ya'atz b'mimahem kasher yishal ish b'dvar Elokim. So if anyone had a question about Dvar Hashem, they would go ask Achitofel and he would give them advice. B'nei Aben Yehoyada is the Sanhedrin. B'nei Aben Yehoyada, he's the representative of the Sanhedrin. Why? Well, because he was the Av Beitin. V'evyatar elu Urim Metumim. Evyatar is the Urim Metumim because he was the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohanim, were those who guarded and asked questions to the Urim Metumim. V'chein hu omer, and it's also said, Ben Ayah ben Yehoyada al HaKreti uPleti. And Ben Ayah ben Yehoyada comes before the Kreti and the Pleti. V'lamini Kreshmam Kreti uPleti. Why do we call the Urim V'tumim the Kreti uPleti? Shekortim divrayim, pleti shemuflayim divrayim. Right, so kreti because their words are precise, exact. Right, they don't say anything extra. And pleti because their words are muflaim, they're wondrous, they're very difficult to understand. Only someone of a very high spiritual caliber with Ruach Kodesh can understand what the Urim V'Tumim is talking about. V'acharkach sar tzava l'melech Yoav, and then you go to the general of the king who is Yoav. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ada v'Amri la Amar Rav Yitzchak boreidu Rav Idi Maikura. Right, so Rav Yitzchak bar Ada asks, what is the pasuk that teaches me that David HaMelech had a harp that he put above his bed that he would use to know exactly when Chatzot was. Ora kvodi, ora hanevel v'chinor, aira shachar. Right? Let my glory be awoken, let the lyre and the harp awake me, and I will wake up the shachar, meaning that the harp wakes me up, and then I wake up before dawn. Rabbi Zera Amar Moshe Le'olam Hava Yada. Rabbi said yesterday that Moshe didn't actually know when Chatzot was, and so it was surprising that David did, right? But here Rabbi Zera is saying, no, actually Moshe did know. But David Yada, and David also knew, by the way, he didn't need the harp. V'keva de David hava yada kinor lamaleh. So wait, so why did he use the harp if he knew what time Chatzot was? Litzori mishnate, right? He actually used it as an alarm clock. He didn't need to know what time Chatzot was. He went to sleep. He wanted to wake up exactly at Chatzot. So the harp was his alarm clock, but he knew exactly when Chatzot was. V'keva de Moshe hava yada lamaleh lemeimar kechatzot. We said yesterday that Moshe said kechatzot at around midnight because it was, he wasn't sure exactly when midnight was, but if he does know exactly when midnight was, why does he need to say kichatzot? Moshe kasav Hashema yitu itztegna ne paro. Because maybe the astrologers of Paro are going to make the mistake, not Moshe. Moshe knows when midnight is, but the astrologers of Paro are going to make the mistake. V'yomer Moshe b'dayahu. And they're going to say about Moshe, he's a phony, he doesn't know what he's talking about. See, he said it was going to happen at midnight, and we calculated midnight, it's now, and it's not happening. Daramar lamad lashon chalomar eini yodea shema titbaru v'teachaz. Right? It's a very important message. You should teach yourself how to say, I don't know. Because if you're going to say something and you're not going to know what you're talking about, you may be caught in as pretending to know what you're talking about. You may end up looking like a fool. I think there's an English expression. I remember learning this in school. It's an English expression that's similar, right? It's better to be silent and be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Okay, Rav Ashi Amar Bapalga Urta Tzleisar Nagi Arbesar. Right, so Rav Ashi says, no, actually, this is why Moshe said Kichatzot. Because it was midnight between the 13th and the 14th day. That's when Moshe was speaking. V'hachi kamar Moshe, and this is what Moshe said, Li Yisrael to Israel, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu lemachar kichatzot halayla ki ha'idna ani yotzeh betoch Mitzrayim. So why did Moshe say kichatzot? Not about midnight, but like this time. He was saying this at midnight, and so Moshe was saying, like this time tomorrow. So midnight tomorrow, like the same exact time that we're in right now, except tomorrow. That's why he said kichatzot. Now we're going to go on with more stories about David that we learn out from Psukim and Tehillim. L'David shamra navshi kichasid ani kichasid ani. So David says, asks Kadosh Baruch Hu to protect his neshama, his soul, his nefesh, because he's a chasid, he's a righteous person. Levi Rabbi Yitzchak debated how exactly to understand this pasuk. Chad amar kach amar David. So one of them believed that this is what David was saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbanu shel olam lo chasid ani shekol malchei mizrach u'ma'arav yishenim ad shlosh shaot v'ani chatzot alayla akum l'odot lecha. He says, you know, master of the world, am I not a chasid? All other kings sleep into the third hour of the following day, and I wake up at midnight just to sing your praise. The Idach and the other one says, no, this is what David would say. Amar David lefinei Kadosh Baruch Hu. David would say before Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Lo Chasid Ani Shekol Malchei Mizrach U'Ma'arav Yoshvim Agudot Agudot Bechvodam. All the other kings sit in a very, you know, mechubad, very respectful stature. V'ani Yadayim Luchachim B'dam Meshafu B'Shilia. And me, my hands are dirty with blood and with premature fetuses and with placentas. K'dil Taher Isha L'Bala. Just so I can make a psak halach to make a woman tahor to her husband so they can be engaged in pur revu. And not only that, right? And anything I do, by the way, I first ask Mifivoshet, who is my rabbi. I don't make a psak without consulting with him first. Right? And then I ask him, Mifivoshet, my rabbi, I say, did I judge this properly? Did I obligate properly? Did I say this person is meritorious properly? Did I say this person is tahor properly? Did I say this person is tameh properly? Velo boshti. And I wouldn't be embarrassed when he'd say, no, you got the psak completely wrong. I mean, he could completely tell me that I was off. And I wouldn't be embarrassed because I just cared about getting the right psak halacha. V'am rishu b'reidur av idi, maikra v'adabra b'edutecha. So Ravidi asks, what is the pasuk that teaches me that David would do this? And he answers, V'adabra berutecha neged melachim, right? That I will speak about your cases, about your testimonies in front of kings, v'lo avosh, but I won't become embarrassed. That's how we know that David HaMelech would speak halacha with Mefivoshet, and he wouldn't be embarrassed when Mefivoshet said that he got the wrong halacha. Tana lo Mefivoshet shmo, ela Ishboshet shmo. His name is actually not Mefivoshet. His name is Ishboshet. V'lama nikra shmo Mefivoshet, shai meviyash pnei David behalacha. Why was he called Mefivoshet? Because he would embarrass David when they were speaking halacha, because he would point out every time that David HaMelech was wrong. Lefichach, because of these actions of David HaMelech, he humbled himself in order to accept the right psak from Mephibosheth. Zacha David v'yatza mimeno Kilev. Right? David was meritorious to have a son like Kilev. First of all, what was so great about Kilev? Well, Kilev was one of the four people who never did Nevera. Right? It was Binyamin, Amram, the father of Moshe, Yisha, the father of David, and Kilev, the son of David. V'am Rabbi Yochanan lo Kilev shmo. Actually, Kilev was not his real name. Ela Daniel shmo. His name was Daniel. V'lama nikra shmo Kilev shayam machlim p'nei Mephibosheth. Because Kilev would embarrass Mephibosheth when they were talking halacha. Again, this isn't like a malicious, actively embarrassing. Meaning they would debate halacha, and Kilev was always right, so it was embarrassing to Mephibosheth. And when David would come for the halacha by Mephibosheth, so Mephibosheth was always correct, and so it was embarrassing that David was wrong. They weren't taunting each other. V'alav Amar Shlomo, and about Kilev, Shlomo spoke b'chokhmato in his great wisdom, and he said the following: Bni im chacham limcha yismach libi gam ani. Right, because he says, because of your wisdom, because you're wise of the heart, I too become happy because of your wisdom. V'omer chacham bni v'samach libi v'ashiva chorbi davar. Similarly, your chachma makes me very, very happy. Right, this is what he says about Kilev, that he's praising Kilev for his tremendous wisdom. V'David mikar elinav shei chasid. Did David HaMelech really say about himself that he was a chasid? That's interesting. V'haktiv, isn't it written, lulei hemanti lerot betuv Hashem beretz chaim? David says, halavai that, you know, I should see Maybe I'm going to see the greatness of God in the Eretz Chaim. V'tanamish meidu Rabbi Yossi lamanakura lulei. And if you ever notice, lulei is written with a dot above both lamans and the aleph. So we ask, why are there dots written above the lamans and the aleph in lulei? Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nosho olam uvdach ani b'cha she'tam shalem schar tov l'tzadikim. David said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am positive, b'nosho olam, I am positive that you properly reward tzadikim latid lavo in the world to come. But I have no idea if I'm one of them. Imlav or not. So how is it that David seems so confident to say that he's a chassid and now he's not even sure if he's going to go to Olam Haba and see and be rewarded by Kodesh Baruch Hu? Shema yigrom achet. No, David at that time was a chassid. He was concerned. Maybe before the end of his life, he'll have some terrible transgression. Or maybe he already transgressed and he just didn't even know about it. So he wasn't sure. Kid Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, right? Similar to that which Rav Yaakov Bar Idi taught. The Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Rami Ktiv. So Rav Yaakov Bar Idi brought in the following two pesukim. They seem to contradict each other. Ve'hine anochi imcha v'shmarticha v'chol asher telech. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Yaakov Avinu when he leaves Haran. He says, Yaakov, I'm with you. I'm guarding you wherever you go. I'm with you. V'ktiv v'yir Yaakov me'od. But then it also writes before Yaakov meets Esav that Yaakov is very afraid. Why would he be afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just promised that he's going to be with him always, guarding him, protecting him. He had no reason to be scared. Amar Shema Yigrom Achet. No, Yaakov was concerned that maybe he had an Avera. Kadosh Baruch Hu promised him something when he was at a certain degree of closeness to him, when he deserved that promise. He doesn't deserve it anymore. That's why he's concerned. And David HaMelech is no different. Kedetani, as we learned in the Braita, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Konita. Right? So we say in Shirat Hayam that until your nation comes, until the nation that you acquired comes. That's a repetition of the same idea, right? Until your nation, we're speaking about coming to Eretz Yisrael, right? Why do we need to mention twice until God's nation comes to Eretz Yisrael? Adi Vorem Chashem, Zobia Rishona. No, Adi Vorem Chashem, that's talking about the first time we came to Israel. Adi Vorem Zukonita, Zobia Shnia. That's talking about the second time, B'yamei Ezra, that we came to Eretz Yisrael. So it's a prophecy, or it's a hint to both times that we come into Israel, one in the days of Yeshua and one in the days of Ezra. And from this pasuk, from the fact that there's a double lashon, right, a repetition of the same exact idea, the chachamim learned out the following idea that ruuyim hayu Yisrael liasot lehem neis b'yamei Ezra, that just like it was fit for the generation who left Egypt and went into Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua to have tremendous, tremendous miracles like Kriyat Yamsuf and like Yericho's walls falling down. So too, it would have been appropriate that in theory that should have happened when Ezra came back to Eretz Yisrael as well. Kederach Shanasel Me Yoshua, like the miracles should have happened to Ezra like they happened to Yoshua ben Nun. El Shagar Machet. But we sinned in the time of Ezra and therefore we didn't deserve to have those miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in theory we could have had when we returned to Israel for the second time. The Chachamim Omrim Ad Chatzot. Okay, let's return to the Mishnah. The Chachamim's Shita is that you only have until midnight to say Kriyat Shema. Chachamim Keman Svir Elohu. Who do the Chachamim hold like? Now, again, it's important to understand what the Gemara is asking. Right? The Gemara is not asking who does their Shita accord with in terms of the time. Right? Because they have their own Shita. Right? They hold midnight. Rabbi Gamliel holds until Lota Shachar. And Rabbi Eliezer holds until the end of the first watch. We're not asking who do the Chachamim hold like. They hold like the Chachamim. They're their own Shita. They're allowed to be. So what is the Gemara actually asking? The Gemara is asking, how do the Chachamim understand the word uveshachbecha? Because there are basically two ways to understand that word. Veshachbecha means when you lie down. That's an action, right? Veshachbecha, when you lie down. So you can see the time that's appropriate for saying Kriyat Shema as the time that people go to sleep. And that's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, because by the end of the first watch, everyone's already asleep. Alternatively, you could say, at the time that you're lying down is the appropriate time to say Kriyat Shema. Meaning, as long as you're still lying down, as long as people are still sleeping, that's an appropriate time. That's Rabbi Gamliel's Shita that you have all night. But the Chachamim, how do you hold Chatzot, right? Because Chatzot is after everyone's already gone to sleep, so you're not understanding B'shachbecha as the action of lying down, and it's while people are still sleeping, so you're clearly not understanding the action of being asleep or being in a state of lying down. Iker Rabbi Elazar Sevir Lehu Lemruk Rabbi Elazar. So if they hold, if he holds like Rabbi Elazar in his understanding of Bishachbacha, then they should have held by Rabbi Elazar's Shita and say that you only have until the end of the first watch, because after that everyone's already gone to sleep. Iker Rabbi Gamliel Sevir Lehu, and if you hold like Rabbi Gamliel and his understanding of Bishachbacha, Lemruk Rabbi Gamliel, then you should have said like Rabbi Gamliel that you have all night. Lulam Karabin Gamliel Sevir Lehu. And the truth is, we already know this answer because we saw it in the Mishnah, but you have to understand the havamin of the question, right? So really, the chachamim hold like Rabban Gamliel, the b'shach b'chav means that as long as you are lying down, v'hadaka amri ad chatzot k'del archigadah me'aveira, and they only said that until chatzot, that to distance someone from doing an aveira. K'netanya, as we learned in a b'raita, chachamim asu sayagla divrayim, the chachamim set up gates, right, around the mitzvot in order to prevent us from doing things wrong. K'desh lo ye'adam b'amin asadeh, someone shouldn't come in from the field b'erev in the evening. V'omer elech lebeiti, I'll go to my house first, I'm tired. V'ochel kima, I'm going to eat a little bit. V'eshta kima, I'm going to drink a little bit. V'esham kima, I'm going to sleep a little bit. V'acharkach ekra kriyat shema v'etpalel. And then afterward, I'm going to get up and I'm going to daven kriyat shema, and I'm going to say kriyat shema, and I'm going to daven. V'chot foshena v'nimtzay yashen kol ha'layla. And then nothing to do. He's exhausted. He passes out and he ends up sleeping all night and he misses kriyat shema. Rather, what should a person do? Aval adam ba min asada. You should come in from the field. Be'erev nichnas lebeit kneset. And you should go directly to the beit kneset from the field. V'im ragil likrot koreh. And if you're used to learning mikra, Torah, then you should learn Torah. V'im ragil lishnon. If you're used to learning Mishnah, then you should learn Mishnah. V'korah kriyat shema. And then you say kriyat shema. Umit pal. And then you say tefillah. V'ochel pita umivarech. And then only afterward you should go to have your meal. But if you come home first and you eat and you drink and you nap, we're concerned that you're going to miss your opportunity to say Kriyat Shema. Hakola over al divrei chachamim chayav mita. Wow. And anyone who doesn't listen to this ordinance of the Chachamim, that you should say Kriyat Shema until Chatzot, at least that's the way most of the Rishonim understand it, but that you should say Kriyat Shema until Chatzot, you're chayav mita bidei shamayim. And that's a little bit extreme that you're chayav mita, right? Because the mitzvah, mitei oraita, of saying Kriyat Shema, if you miss that, you're not chayav mita bidei shamayim. But if you don't do it in the way that the rabbis asked you are, how is that worse? Rabbeinu Yonah asks this question. He gives two possible answers. He says, first of all, generally, when you don't do a deoraita, it's because you're a human being and you really, really didn't want to do it. Meaning you had some kind of desire, an overwhelming desire. It overcame you. You did something wrong. You're a human. That happens. But generally, when you don't listen to a derabbanan, it's not because you tried your hardest and made a mistake. It's because you belittled the entire construct of listening to the rabbis. You say, well, what's their prerogative? Why can they tell me what to do? Who are they? So it doesn't come from the fact that you tried, but you failed. It comes from this negative perspective towards the rabbis. So sure, the action is not as bad, but the mindset is so much worse. And additionally, he says it's much less likely that you're going to do tshuva, right? Why? Because you kind of belittle the mitzvot, right? If you did something wrong on a Torah level, then you realize, oh, what I did was terrible, I should really do tshuva. But, okay, it's only the Rabbanan, what's the big deal? I don't really need to do tshuva. It's not actually wrong, they just told me, but who are they? Right? So you're much less likely to do tshuva. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah understands why you're chayav mita for not saying Kriyat Shema in the, okay, we don't pass it this way, that you're chayav mita b'dei shamayim for not saying Kriyat Shema by chatzot. Ma'ishna b'chol duchta de loktani chayav mita. But wait, why is this ordinance of the Rabbanan that you're supposed to daven Kriyat Shema before Chatzot different than all other ordinances of the Rabbanan that we don't say Yerchayev Mita B'dei Shemayim? Ma'ishna hacha dektani chayev mita. Right? What's different now that we're saying Yerchayev Mita? Ibayit Eima, so you could say Mishum De'ika Ones Shena. Right? Because here we have to be concerned that you're going to fall asleep. Right? It is Ones Shena. Right? What does that mean? Meaning you're not actively deciding not to do this. Right? You're not actively deciding anything while you're asleep. So it's so, it's much more likely that you're going to come to do something wrong because you're asleep and you can't make a decision to do the right thing. Right? And alternatively, he wanted to have a very extreme response to that opinion that said that davening Maariv is not an obligation, rather it's a permission. There's an inyan of davening Maariv. There's an idea of davening Maariv. It's a nice thing to do. So he wanted to respond very, very harshly to that perspective and say, no, you absolutely need to. In fact, if you don't, you're chayav mita. So that's what he wanted to address, is the perspective that said you don't really need to daven Maariv. Amar Mar says Mar, correct Kriyat Shema with Palel Mesayle Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Didn't we just say in the sequence of events that the rabbis instruct us to do that first you daven Kriyat Shema, first you say Kriyat Shema, and then you daven, then you say Tefillah? Well, that's actually a support for Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, because the order of Kriyat Shema and then Tefillah is subject to a machloket. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezehu Ben Olam Haba, right? Who is one who is a Ben Olam Haba? Zeh Somech Geula LeTefillah. Shel Arvit. What's the concept of Samech Geula L'Tfila? Well, you have the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, right? Which is a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us from Egypt. And then immediately after that, we're supposed to start our Tfila. We're supposed to be Somech. We're supposed to make one juxtaposed to the other. And Rabbi Yochanan said, if you do that, where you put Ga'al Yisrael immediately before you start Tfila, even in the evening, by Mariv, you're a Ben Olam Haba, right? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Tfilaot Be'emza Tiknum. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, no, you got the order all wrong. In the morning, it's Kriyat Shema, and then Tfila, and then in the evening, it's Tfila, and then Kriyat Shema. The Tfila would always fall in between the Kriyat Shema's. That's supposed to be the first and last thing of your day, says Rabbi Yeshua. But Maika Miflagi, how do they arrive at this argument? Meaning, what are they really arguing over? Ibait Eima Kri, Ibait Eima Svaras. You could actually say that what's standing behind their argument is actually their understanding of a Pasuk. Alternatively, you could say that they arrived at their arguments logically. So you could say that it's a svara. The Rabbi Yochanan savar geula meorta nami havi geula. Right. Let's go back to going back to Egypt for a second. Going back to Egypt. So when was our geula from Mitzrayim? Our geula. Well, they said that we could leave at night, but we didn't actually leave until the morning. So when was the geula? Was the geula when they said that we could leave, or was the geula when we actually left? So clearly, the real geula was in the morning. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's still an idea of geula at nighttime because they said that we could leave at nighttime. Meorta nami havi geula. Right, really, the nighttime also had a geula, except the real geula wasn't until the morning. But still, because the nighttime had a geula that they said we could leave, we should still do somech geula letzvila at nighttime. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi savar kevan de lo havia ela metzafra lo havia geula mehalaita. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, we didn't leave until the morning, so really, it wasn't a real geula until the morning. In which case, there's no inyan of doing somech geula letzvila, having the bracha of Gal Yisrael right before Tzvila in the evening. It's only relevant for the morning. Vibayt Emakra. Alternatively, you could say that behind their machloket is actually a pasuk. Vishneihem mikra echad darshu. And they actually are arguing over the same pasuk and how you understand it, as opposed to bringing two different pasukim to support their perspectives. Tichtiv v'shachbecha uvkmecha. Again, we know the pasuk, right? When you lie down and when you get up. Rabbi Yochanan savar makif shkiva lekima makima kriyat shema acharkach tefila af shkiva nami kriyat shema acharkach. So first of all, what's this concept of a hekesh? Right? A hekesh is a way of learning out halachot from the Torah that aren't explicitly written. Right. So what is the function of a hekesh? When two words are juxtaposed to each other, one comes immediately after the other, we can assume perhaps that these two things are equal in some sense, like they have similar laws. Right. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bishachbecha uvkumecha." They're juxtaposed to one another, so they have similar laws. What are the similar laws? Says Rabbi Yochanan, just like in the morning, by when you wake up, you first say Kriyat Shema and then you say Tefillah. So too, in the evening, you first say Kriyat Shema and then you say Tefillah. Now Rabbi Yeshua uses the same exact pasuk and the same exact function. He just learns something different from it. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Savar makif shkiva lekima makima kriyat shema samuch lemitato af shkiva nami kriyat shema samuch lemitato. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. What do you learn from the hekesh? The fact that they're juxtaposed to one another, just like kriyat shema in the morning is immediately adjacent to having gotten out of bed, so too the kriyat shema in the evening should be adjacent to getting into bed. So it needs to be the last thing you're doing, and tefillah needs to actually precede the kriyat shema. Mativ mar bereid ravina be'erev mevarich shtaim lifnei b'shtaim lachareya. So now we have a potential issue to that which we suggested by Rabbi Yochanan, because as Marbury the Ravina points out, in the evening we actually have two Birkot Kriyat Shema that succeed, that come after Shema. V'yamar bai lismoch halo kasamach geula letfila dehabai lemeimar hashkivenu. Right? After we say Gal Yisrael, at nighttime we still have to say the bracha of hashkivenu, in which case, either way at nighttime, we're not doing a smicha geula letfila, because there's an interruption between Gal Yisrael and tefillah. Amri kevan atikni rabbanan hashkivenu ki geula arichta davia. No, when the rabbis told us to say hashkivenu, it made hashkivenu like an extension of the geula that we were making a bracha on in Gaal Yisrael. This isn't an interruption. It's an extension of the same idea. And now we're going to bring a support for the fact that we're not interrupting between the geula and tefillah, we're just extending the geula right up to the tefillah. De'i lote mahochek, because if you don't say that that's the case, Shachrit echi matzi samich. Then you also have a problem by Shachrit. The ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila omer Hashem tiftach tiftach, v'sof omer yiratzon omer yifi. Right? Because didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that in the beginning of Shmone Esrei, you're supposed to say Hashem Sivtai Tiftach, Ufi Agid Tehilatecha? But wait, if you have to say Hashem Sivtai Tiftach, then you also interrupted the Geula of Gal Yisrael from the Tefillah by Shachrit. So even Shachrit, you'd have this problem. So what do we say? Well, the rabbis told you you have to say Hashem Sivtai Tiftach, in which case it's just like an extended tefillah. It doesn't interrupt between geula and tefillah. It is just the first part of tefillah. It's already considered tefillah. So too here, when the rabbanon said that you have to say Hashkivenu, they just extended the geula. Now I'm about to ruin your childhood, right? Because when you were a kid, when you were learning Shmona Esrei, when you were in second or third grade, whatever it is, your teacher probably taught you, first you take your three steps back and you say Hashem Sivtai Tiftach each step. And then you take your three steps forward and you say Ufi Yagid Tehilatecha, saying it each step. So that is so wrong. First of all, you don't have to take three steps back unless you need to in order to take three steps forward. If you have room in front of you, just go ahead and take three steps forward. Second of all, if we learn from this Gemara that Hashem Sivtai Tiftach is part of Tefillah, and it must be part of Tefillah, because otherwise you're making a separation between Birkat Gal Yisrael and Tefillah, then it's part of Tefillah. Why are you walking around? Can you walk around normally during Shmona Esrei? No, the Bir Alacha quotes this Gemara and says, you're making an interruption in your Tefillah. You can't walk around when you start Shmona Esrei. And if Hashem Sivtai Tiftach is the beginning of Shmona Esrei, you shouldn't be walking around. Rather, if you need to, you take three steps back, then you take three steps forward, and only then say Hashem Sivtai Tiftach, because otherwise you're making a Hafsaka, you're making an interruption in the middle of your Shmona Esrei. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina. Kol ha'omer tehillah leDavid b'chol yom shlosh pamim muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. Anyone who says Ashrei three times a day, he's definitely a ben olam haba. So people love quoting this Gemara and assuming that they can do whatever they want and then say Ashrei three times a day. Well, first of all, I don't really know anyone who does everything they want and then still says Ashrei three times a day. But second of all, it's not exactly how it works. But my time, well, what's even the reason that we assume that this is such an important tefillah? Ilema mishum da atiyah be'aleph bet, if you want to say, because Ashrei is written in the order of the aleph bet. Okay, so what? Well, it could be that because the aleph bet is really every sound that we have. Listen, we could never think of the right praises, perhaps, to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if we even tried, we could never stop. There's just so much to say. We don't have the capacity to praise Him properly. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to say every letter, every sound that we can make. That way, at least in potential, you can put we tried to say everything we possibly could, and in potential exists any praise you could ever compile. Because you can't compile a praise about a Kadosh Baruch Hu that didn't use every letter that we just said. So, Neima Ashrei Tmimei Derech. But wait a second. There's another parak of Tehillim, Ashrei Tmimei Derech, which uses the alphabet also. And furthermore, the Atiyah B'Timnia Apin, or alternatively, it's Timnia Alfin. Meaning, in that parak of Tehillim, we actually say the alphabet eight times each, right? So, all the more so, you should say that three times a day. What's so special about Ashrei? I mean, it's really like Tehillah L'David. We commonly call it Ashrei. Ela mishum de'ibe poteach et yadecha. No, it's because in Ashrei we say a very special phrase, poteach et yadecha, right, where we were able to recognize that everything comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Neima halal agadol. But wait a second, in halal agadol, right, we say on Shabbos, kilu lam chasdo, it's also a Tehillim, dichtibe noten lechem lechol basar. Don't we also mention that everything comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu in halal agadol? So how about we say kilu lam chasdo three times a day and then we're ben olam haba. Ela mishum de'ibe tarte. No, what's special about Ashrei? It has both. It goes through the aleph bet, and it has the inyan of recognizing that everything comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ibn Neima, lo ne'emar nun. Right? So if you don't ever notice this, Ashrei actually leaves out nun. Right? Dichtibe nun. Sorry, be Ashrei. Why do we leave out the nun in Ashrei? Bibnei sheyishpa mapaltan shel sonei Yisrael. Right? Because nun, the pasuk that begins with nun, is a reference to the downfall of Klal Yisrael. We don't want to mention that. Dichtiv nafla lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael. We fell, and we will never continue to get up, right, Israel. And that's a horribly depressing idea. We don't want to mention it in Ashrei. B'ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, mitarzi lehachi. Actually, in Eretz Yisrael, they read the pasuk very differently. Nafla v'lo tosif linpol, od kum betulat Yisrael. We fell, but we will never fall again. We will yet again stand up Israel. And it's very interesting how we see, even then, the different mindsets of the Amoraim of Bavel and of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Eretz Yisrael, they're very geula-minded, right? So they read the same exact pasuk as, we fell, sure, but we're going to get right back up and we're going to stand on our own 2 feet. Where in Bavel, they said, we fell and yeah, we're probably never going to get up. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, afilu hachi, chazer David, v'samchan, beruach kodesh, sh'ne'amar, somech Hashem l'chol enoflim. No, so even though David left out the nun, which spoke about the nefila, the downfall of Klal Yisrael, he then afterwards said, "Somech Hashem l'kol enoflim," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pick up all those who have fallen. So he gives us comfort, even though he left out our downfall. He gives us comfort that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will yet again pick us up. We'll stop here.